In the name of God, the Creator, Liberator, and Sustainer of the universe. Amen. Today is Trinity Sunday. It is the only Sunday in the church year that is celebrated in honor of a doctrine. As the early Christian community began to reflect on its own experience with God, they were in the process of doing theology, even if initially they might not have been aware of that, because theology at its best is always a reflection on our experience with God. We don't have a theology and then find God. We encounter God, have an experience, and then we reflect on it, think about it. So as the early Christian community began to think about their experience with God, drawing on their Hebraic background, one thing was crystal clear to this community, and that was that their experience had been not that God was an abstract concept, but that God was a person. Their relationship with God was personal. In our first reading this morning from the book of Proverbs, in the 8th chapter of the book of Proverbs, traditionally Proverbs is attributed to Solomon. But whoever wrote Proverbs, the writer is crystal clear that in the beginning, wisdom was present. In the beginning, wisdom was part of God's loving, creative action. And that this loving, creative reality is at the heart of creation. Now, it is also interesting that the church would later associate this wisdom with the Logos in John 1, the Word, and also associate wisdom with spirit, in Greek, Sophia. It is also interesting that the writer says that wisdom is a person. It is Lady Wisdom. Lady Wisdom, who was present in the very beginning, present in what we would later call the Godhead. Other Christians, as they reflected upon their experience with God, experienced God as a loving parent. They spoke of God creating the human person because God wanted children. And again, remember that when God created the human person, God created them male and female, and the Bible is very, very clear that the male and the female were created in the image and likeness of God. Which means, in case you don't get the point, is that God is both male and female in God's being. So if you only refer to God with, say, masculine pronouns, you are referring to sort of half of God's being. You sort of believe in half of God. Other people had encountered, particularly the disciples, literally the person of Jesus. And in Jesus, they had known God's love. They had known the transforming power of Jesus. They had come to see that Jesus was God in the flesh. Jesus was God in the flesh. Also, the early Christian community, particularly after the experience of Pentecost, was very clear that God would not leave them alone. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit that they had experienced personally, had come to them and empowered them to personally carry on the ministry of Jesus. God was in no way an idea for the early Christian community. God was a personal reality. And the primary experience that the community had of God was in the person of Jesus, who came among us, not saying initially, "Think about me," or "Think about God, what God means," but who came among us saying, "Follow me. Follow me." Being very clear that the only way to know Jesus, which means the only way to know God, is to follow. Is to follow. The early Christian community, as it moved out of the Hebraic community into the larger Greco-Roman world, encountered some difficulties initially because it did not have a clearly defined theology. It wasn't all written out in textbook form. And as it encountered particularly the Greek philosophical mind, there was a problem. Like there were some Greek philosophers who said all matter is evil. So how could God be matter, flesh? So there were some Christians who said, well, Jesus really wasn't a human being. He just appeared to be a human being. So the church realized it had to clear up some of this fuzzy, at best, thinking. It also was very much aware that it had to learn to communicate in a different world. It wasn't just called to communicate in the Hebraic world. It had to communicate in the world of, say, Greek philosophy. So in 325, Constantine, the Roman Emperor, called the Council of Nicaea. And the best Christian thinkers of the time came together. And the concern was getting clear about what we really believe. Let's state it in such a way that, number one, we are clear. But also, number two, that people in, say, the Greek philosophical world can understand what we're talking about. So, among other things, at the Council of Nicaea, as the Christian community reflected on its experience with God, they sought to put that in Greek philosophical terms that could be understood. And so they came up with what we today call the doctrine of the Trinity. The doctrine of the Trinity, in essence, says that God, in God's essence, is one being. There's one God. But within that being, there are three persons. Three persons. The Parent, the Son, the Spirit. And they are all personal. And then they went on to say that Jesus had a full human nature and also a full divine nature. Now, very quickly, creeds and catechisms picked up this language because it now was official, it was written down, it was clear, and you could have a conversation with the Greek mind. But there were two things that happened almost immediately after this process of incorporating this language began to take place. Number one, many people, ordinary people in the church, began to say, this kind of thinking is just too difficult for us. Too difficult. This doctrine of the triune God is incomprehensible to us. So it must be a mystery. Well, we are very much aware, aren't we, when we're doing theology, that anything we say about God is just sort of an approximation. We can't control God by our definitions. But we do the best we can. And this language that the Council of Nicaea had come up with pretty much did the job they had set out to do. But people still seem to think, wow, we are never going to understand this. I remember an old priest who used to say that he loved Trinity Sunday. He said, no one ever understands anything I say in my sermons, but on Trinity Sunday, no one ever expects to. He said, I really like Trinity Sunday. The second thing that happened was that people began to forget, to a large extent, the experience that had given birth to the doctrine of the Trinity. The early Christian community was very much aware that what was now being called the three in one, the triune God, was a definition that had grown directly out of their own reality, their own experience with God. They knew, for example, that the God who created the heavens and the earth was a God who was personal. This was a God who had heard the cries of the people in Egypt, in slavery. This was a God who formed covenants with God's people because God loved them so much. God was personal, but they also were very much aware that God was not only personal, as they had seen in Jesus of Nazareth, or when their hearts were set on fire by the Holy Spirit, but they realized also that God was communitarian. In God's being, there is a community. There is the Parent, there is the Son, there is the Spirit. And they form this community, this family. God's very essence is communitarian. That's what the Council of Nicaea wanted to say. It said, one being, three persons. God, in God's essence, is community. And this community which is God, has certain characteristics. Number one, as we notice in our gospel reading this morning, the 16th chapter of John's gospel, verse 15, Jesus says that whatever is the Father's is His. Whatever belongs to God is His. If you read the New Testament, you will also note that what the Spirit says to the church and what Jesus said to the church were pretty much the same. And it becomes crystal clear that in this Trinitarian community, there is absolutely no possessiveness. In their relationship with each other, whatever belongs to one belongs to the other. Whatever belongs to one belongs to the other. Jesus again, what the Father has is mine. What the Spirit has is mine. What Jesus has is mine. In this interwoven community of love, there is no possessiveness. Secondly, in this community you see diversity. It is true that the Spirit is not the same as the Father or the Mother, that the Son is not the same as the Spirit. But in this community, there is diversity and there is a shared equality. There's a shared equality. The Son is not above the Spirit. Spirit is not above the parent. There is unity in diversity in this community. And thirdly, all three of the persons within the one being receive the same worship, honor, and glory. They are all treated with the same respect and honor. The doctrine of the Trinity gives us a remarkable insight into the very nature of God. This God who is personal, communitarian, and relational. The doctrine of the Trinity would change the very nature of the Christian community. As they began to more and more see that God was their parent, that Jesus was like their brother, the Holy Spirit was like their sister. But they also saw something else. They also saw that what they saw in the triune God was a model of how they were to be. What they saw in the triune God was a model of how they were to organize their family, their church, their society. They who were created in the image and likeness of this triune God were called to become a model of, number one, non-possessiveness. In your relationship with the other, you do not possess the other. You do not possess the other. In your relationship with the earth, you do not possess the earth. You are called to live as a being who functions far more focused on ours rather than mine and yours. We live in a world which has gone crazy rejecting the first part of this Trinitarian model. We live so much simply focused on mine and yours. We live so much treating the earth as if it's mine and we can do to it whatever we want to do. We forget that there is no such thing as, for example, my air in this building. If I say all the oxygen in this building belongs to me, you can have none. We forget our responsibility to make sure that all who are here can breathe, which is why we care about clean, decent air. We forget that if we are following the model of the Trinity, we are a community that knows diversity. We all are different, but we are called to respect those differences and treat each other with equality. No Christian is above another Christian because of some little difference. When we are baptized, we are all consecrated and made holy beings. And we are all to be treated with honor and respect. Every one of us. We are to have a community in which we realize that any baptized person, for example, is our brother, our sister. This week in his inaugural sermon, the new Archbishop Coadjutor of the Roman Catholic Diocese of Los Angeles said that one of the primary characteristics of the Christian community is that in this community there are no aliens. There are no aliens. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the community. And we are called to assimilate the Trinitarian model of non-possessiveness. The Trinitarian model of dignity for all human beings. The Trinitarian model of sharing. The Trinitarian model of respecting and giving honor to all people in God's creation. You know, all of us in this congregation, in our baptismal vows, made a solemn oath that we would respect the dignity of every human being. Can you imagine how much different the world would be today if a quarter of the Christians who had taken that vow lived into it? You know, I sometimes think that we like to think that the model of the Trinity is so incomprehensible. It's simply because we do not want to incorporate that model into our own communitarian life. But this day reminds us. This day reminds us of the very nature of the God who loves us, who has redeemed us, and who sustains us. The God who says to us again and again, "Follow me. I love you. I care for you. I will be with you." The God who comes to us not as an abstract reality, but the God who comes to us as a person. A God who comes to us and calls us to be as God is. to be personal, communitarian, and relational. Let us this day rededicate our lives to that model of Trinitarian living which God has given us. Let there be peace among us, and let us not be instruments of our own or anyone else's oppression. Amen.